Psalm 23, all right? Okay, we are going to begin from there. Let me just quickly read through it. I think that will get us into the flowing mood. It said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In verse 4, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. He now said in verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. I was saying something to us before. I quoted something that Jesus said. He told a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And I emphasized the issue of the word always. That is, how do you pray continually? One of the things I just want to say about it again is about upholding yourself in prayer all the time. Do you understand? There are many aspects, many principles to life. One of the things you must do in life for your own safety, for your own safety, that's good enough, all right? For your own blessing, for your own prosperity, is to pray for yourself at all times. And then when I say pray for yourself at all times, I need to say this. This is very important. Please listen to this. I was discussing something with Bishop a few days ago. We were talking about the principle of confession and all of that, okay? And I want to just emphasize something along the line to us again as believers. I said to you before, and let me say it again. It's not possible for you to hold on without doubting, except you are speaking the word of God. Are you following my point? It is not possible. Humanly, you will sway. Things will turn you around. You can like a black car today in your life. Say, if your car is not black, God, don't even bring it near my house. I don't even want to respray it. If you want to give me a car, make it black. If you don't want to make it black, forget it. You can pray that kind of prayer to God. You understand? And what you don't realize is that actually the truth is that you love rare things, and around you, white is common, red is common, ash is common, blue is common, and one thing that is very uncommon is black. You don't know that. You just know you like black cars. But along the line, as you are praying for black, everybody is praying for black, and God is beginning to give them black cars, black hair. Then you come out one day, you look on the road, and there's at the red light, you see about 20 cars, one after the other, all black. You go back home, Lord, I desire a very good car. I mean, you have to make it violet, you know. I thought you said black. I don't like black anymore. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry in town has black. You have changed your mind. That's what I'm saying. That's just the way it is. I don't want to go over that again. It is not possible to be sure and firm in your heart except you are confessing the word of God. But then in the midst of changing your mind from black to blue to yellow to fuchsia, in the midst of changing your mind to all those colors, in all of those colors, there's something that you can never change your mind concerning. No good thing will it withhold from them that walk uprightly. That statement cannot change. Are you following my point? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything good. Cannot change. You follow what I'm saying? When you want to maintain confessions, therefore, what do? You focus purely on the word of God. What has power in your mouth is what God has said, and what you are saying purely based upon what he has said. Very important. Talking about praying for yourself, all right, and sustain yourself in prayer. And how you do it is simple. You continually, it's not just about kneeling down and making requests. When requests come up, make them. But most times in life, the truth is that you don't even know what you need. You only know what you want. Do you understand my point? Yes, you don't know what you need. You know what you want. You know, just to illustrate it. In Korea, if you are rich, you ate rice. You know, rice, all right? Those days, rich people's children were malnourished, but they did not know that because they fed them rice continually, and the rice was deficient in thiamine. Thiamine is a form of vitamin, all right? So you find out that they were coming down what you and I call beriberi, you know? Thiamine deficiency, vitamin deficiency. And the people kept on buying and eating more rice, not knowing that that was the cause of their problems. The poor people won't have those problems because they have to eat other things. And those other things tended to have more thiamine in it than those who ate pure white rice. So you see, you know what you want. You needed thiamine, you did not know it. And you were not asking God to give you thiamine. So that's why If you want your, it's because when you just stick with the word of God, he will lead you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. What am I saying? You don't know exactly what you need. You only know what you want. Sometimes what you're asking God for, you don't need it. And when you get it, you discover you don't want it. You only are perceiving that it is good because some people who want to deceive you are smiling, you know what I'm trying to say, when they are using what you are asking for. You don't, or maybe for them it is good, for you it's not. So, how do we sustain ourselves as believers? It's simple. We take the word of God, we discussed it last year, just that it's a prayer meeting, we cannot discuss these things enough. We cannot discuss these things enough. So, that's why I'm going over it again. What we do is to continually utter God's word concerning our lives. Anything you hear God say, repeat it, if it has to do with your life. Whether you need it or not. Somebody told me once, I told somebody many years ago, that I don't see you regularly for Bible studies because of, you know, what's been happening? He said that the things you are no, it was stupidity, all right? Okay, I just illustrate. He said, well, you know, the things you are teaching, I don't need them now. I said, that's the problem. When you need them, I won't be there to teach you and it'll be too late to learn it. Yes, by the time you need it, I won't be there to teach you, number one. And most importantly, it will be too late to learn it. Although that was just nonsense talk, okay? Something else must have really matter. All right? So, you know, what I'm saying is that once God is uttering, all right, whether you feel you need it now or not is besides the point. Those who needed thiamine, like I was telling you about thiamine deficiency, did not realize they needed thiamine. They just thought they were hungry and they needed to eat. You follow what I'm saying? Okay? So once God is speaking, we take those words and we keep them in our mouths. What happens is that the time, now actually this is how life is. I've said it several times, again and again. I've not said this thing enough. I'll keep on saying it. Life is a battle of what? It's a battle of what? It's a battle of what? That this is what you say that determines where your life is going. And let me say it again. Christians don't just talk. No, you must talk because any other thing you base your talk on is shifty ground. It's shifty, you know. You put your feet here, you sleep. The talk that works is that one which is held on to persistently and does not change because it is built on the solid foundation. And that is the word of God. So as a habit, this is how we sustain ourselves in prayer and you will fulfill the word of God that says men must pray always and not lose heart and not get tired. And like Paul said, pray without ceasing. What we do is that we take God's word and we utter them all the time. I said before, life is always making demands. No, that's one thing. It's always what? Making demands. You must utter something. You know, I was the other day I told my wife, I said, you know, she was rushing. I said, come and kneel down here, let me pray for you. And I said things. Now, the summary of it is that I told her about two or three or four things. I said, it's not possible that these things I've been telling you, it will not happen that they will not come to pass in your life. Do you know why? It is simple. Because I have said the same things for a long time based upon the word of God. And every time the word comes forth, it confirms that which I know already. And because they have stayed there, I said, it is not possible that you won't be blessed in this way in this life. I said, it's not possible. Not because I'm strong, not because I desire it personally, but because I discovered that this is what God is saying, and I'm saying exactly what He is saying. Listen to me. That is the battle of words. That is the weapon, all right? That is the weapon that guarantees victory. That's what it is. Do you follow my point? It's what we are saying now. You know, there's one write-up I have. I described that as the words that you are speaking now that's designing what your future will be like. They have a saying in my place, all right? They said, if you want to step on cool ground, what do? You throw water forward. If everywhere is hot and you want your own place to be cool, you do what? You throw water ahead of you. And that the water cools the place down and then you step comfortably. And that's what we do. We speak the word of God now, but it is working tomorrow also. Do you get my point? It's preparing a place before you in the presence of your enemies. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's preparing things. Even, please, I'm going to bring out something. Even what you are not aware of. I'm telling you. It's preparing for you the kind of children you will have. and you're not even you're like 10 years away from getting married. So what we are doing in life actually is fighting with words. And then, because you see, I know I told you before that Jesus said, that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And I said before that the reason why they might lose heart is because the thing is not happening quickly. That's what I was saying. You know, so it's likely you will lose heart if you're not warned, because you will say something again and again and it doesn't respond. That's what I'm saying. So that what happens is that after you've been speaking in a particular way, life sometimes manifests in such a manner as to make you change your mind. Do you get my point? Yes, it manifests in a manner as to make you change your mind. And I've been saying it again and again. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. No matter what people say, it is the word of God that will eventually be shown to be true. You can never prove God wrong. There was one young woman I met a few days ago. She was, you know, we had some dealing, you know, an account in a bank matter and all of that. So, well, our first time of talking, she said, that there was something I preached some time ago. That when I said it, she said, no, it's not like it to be like, no, that she just took it, you know, like one of those things, yeah. You know, people quote to you for you. You don't even know when you said it, all right? That I said that if God has a blessing for you, that he will lead you by himself into the very place where the blessing is. And then that she didn't understand what she was doing in Enugu. And as far as it was concerned, there's no blessing hiding for her here. So Pastor Van Grison, you are saying. Anyway, after saying it, I said, but the word of God can never be proved wrong. Do you know? They began to give me testimony. I didn't ask any question. Now I start the gist, now I conclude the gist. You understand my point? Started by saying that, you know, I doubted what you said, but you know what you said has been proven to be correct. You're very welcome. Thank you very much. That's a matter of fact. You can never prove God wrong. It's not possible. So the challenge of Christianity is to maintain the same allegiance to the word of God in the midst of life's circumstances. That is it. And like I said before, the easiest way to do it, don't be too smart. Just take what God has said and repeat that. That is all. Let that word form something in you. Tony Bakari said something. I don't know why I told this story. I was watching him on TV. He said that one day, when he joined Redeem Christian Church, you know, he used to be a Redeem pastor. No. That he will go to church and Pastor E. Adeboye will be saying that they need money. And need money, please. Some people should try and contribute money to us. So he said he used to get angry. So he went and one day went and told the pastor, he wrote a letter to Pastor Adeboye and said, "Sir, just pray for me that these are your announcements. I actually don't like them. So just pray for me that God will bless me, and you will never have to make this kind of announcement again." So the man received the letter. I think he prayed for him. I don't know, but the following week, he went to work and they sacked him. The following week, he went to work and they gave him a sack letter that, you see, your services are no longer required because of this and this and that and that. Anyway, so he went back to church to go and see Pastor holding the sack letter. And the pastor said, he showed Pastor, see, he said if there was ever a time in his life he felt like shooting somebody, it was that day. He felt like shooting the pastor, because when he showed the big man, now big man, wasn't a very big man, that was 1980-something. The letter said the man started laughing. The man laughed and laughed. So he looked and, what is funny? I just got sacked. That, he said, he was so angry. And the man told him simply, this is God's reply to the letter you wrote last week. Wait. Let's get it clear. I told God to bless me, then I will help this world move forward. And this is how he knows how to reply people, by sacking them. So the man told him simply, said that, listen, the kind of blessing you're asking God for, they don't pay it as salaries. Let me make a long story short. Shortly after that, he started his own practice. And they paid him, the first brief he was paid for, he was paid an equivalent of, at once, those cash, bam. It was paid an equivalent of what he was earning previously in 3.5 years. Do you hear what I said? They gave him 41 salary at a go. He said he now went and met the man of God, of course, to fulfill the promise he had made to God that if God, if you bless me, don't worry. So he said when he got there, he handed the offering over and told the man that, pray for me. Apparently, the man was so impressed by that testimony that he said, no, you should pray for me, that this kind of anointing, no, I'm the one that needs it. He said, no, sir, you don't understand. If your former prayer produced this one, if you all produce another prayer, you know. Let me just say one other thing he said, so you learn from it. I used to tell people, be careful when you are following people. You know, Pastor Ndiba Kari can attack anybody. And he has attacked Pastor Yadibwe again and again. And I'm not angry with him. That's how prophets behave and misbehave. So, but what I always tell people, I used to tell my wife, say, if something is good, follow it. If it's bad, whoever it is that's doing it, don't follow. You know what? Why? I'm saying so now. Because he said it himself, says since that time till now, he preached this message in December or in January, he has fulfilled his covenant, his promise to God to that ministry. Even when you see him shouting and criticizing what they are doing, he still goes to go and give the man an offering. So he says to the church members, I have warned you, stop defending me. You don't know what I do. You know, I told my wife, she has been telling you. You can say, yes, Pastor Ndiba Kari is against anything. He does not like them, redeem. He's a lie. He can disagree with something they are doing. On Sunday, if he gets a big offering, that's maybe he has a lot of money, he'll walk there and go and, good morning, sir. Sometimes maybe no good morning, sir. You'll write a fat check, put an offering basket, and walk away. You think he has made them enemies. You turn to be their enemies, and God will be flogging you. You'll be broke. No, you'll never have money. You know, little money you have, Satan will take it, and God will do you toy, you know. And you say, yes, I'm a disciple of Pastor Ndiba Kari. You're on your own. The man is not with you at all. That's just by the way. My friend and I discussed. And I can't give it. We're there for hours. Today, earlier on today. We said that, listen, life is not. I told stories, things that happened because we were schoolmates. It was just about 2 years my senior on campus. We're just remembering things of those days. I'll share one small testimony with you. I want to hear an digest it. All right? We said that life is not about struggle. That if the word enters you, it will produce something out of your life that even you will look at it, you will marvel. We talked at length. Look, that's what I'm saying. That what a believer just needs is to hold on to this word of God. I'm telling you. Incidentally, I think it's a call from the Spirit of God. You know, the series I've been doing. All right? He told me that he started that in his church a few days ago. He's a teacher in his church. And he titled the series, The Word of God. When I started the series here, beginning of this year, that was the first title I had. I said, let me look for something slightly different that looks more like a topic. I said, apparently this is a call of the Spirit to believers everywhere. That I'm about to release something into the earth. And if you are not held by my word, because you are holding on to my word, you will be swept away and nothing good will come to you. This man and I didn't discuss before until now. We're just discussing this afternoon. We're talking about different things. I told him, I remember a book I read, The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. I look back and I thought we acted upon the word. We didn't act upon the word. I never acted upon the word. The word acted on me. We used to talk as if you act on the word. You know, I've been telling you that. You know, there are expressions you don't hear me use. Not because they are bad, but I think it puts too much credit on your side. What I say is give attention to the word. The word will act on you. Because I remember a particular day, I was president of my fellowship. I wasn't an experienced man for information at that time. I was still a teenager. I was not out of my teens yet. I'm not joking. I'm telling you a fact. I was on campus and I remember that day, finished fellowship, I was standing in front like this. One sister walked up to me. She kind of touched me from my hand like this, from the side. But I was standing on something a bit elevated. And said, she called me, I remember, I said, Pastor Vanke, I need to talk to you. And once I saw her, I knew there was a problem. See, she had been crying the whole day. She said that I saw my results today, and I'm being withdrawn from the faculty. Now, I'm not a lecturer. I'm a fellow student. I'm not experienced in these things. A young woman just came and said that, and you see that she was heartbroken. I just, of course, just put on one spiritual garb. In Jesus' name, there's no problem. Don't worry, don't worry. I, for want of what to say, I said, what's your room number? I'll see you later. I said, okay. Well, for our fellowship was in the evening. I said, tomorrow, I'll come and see you in the room, all right? So she gave me her room number. So, of course, I went and prayed because I didn't know what to say. You know what I'm saying? I remember I just walked, in fact, That day I was so happy I went, because apparently she was waiting. The young woman was heartbroken, you know. That day I knocked, I had prayed, did nothing to say. I just prayed and got there. She was happy that I came. I sat down. Then this way I'm going. I can't remember exactly what I said. All I know that I just picked up two scriptures and I began to tell her about the word of God. What God says, what he said, what he did not say, what you say. I said nothing about the situation because I knew nothing to say about the situation. But what I still remember, God is my witness, was that the more I spoke, the more she liked. And I remember by the time I was leaving, she was laughing continuously. That's not the end of the gist. What could I do? I wasn't going to talk to her dean. I didn't know the dean. You know the lecturer? I don't know the faculty. All I know is that she said I was president of the fellowship. So, I came to her room that day and spoke so plenty. The Bible says this, the word of God says this, the Holy Spirit said this, Jesus said it, the Father said it, the Son said this, said it. At the end of the day, said the word of prayer and left. This pastor did not know what God could do, not will do. What he had power to do in the circumstances, I had no idea. What he was going to do? I just went there, talk, and left. Now, what's the end of the story? I forgot about it shortly after that. I mean, for me, it was good enough that by the time I left, she was smiling and she was happy and really, really laughing. Except that one day again in fellowship, after fellowship that day, I saw her again. She was still smiling. I said, I just want to tell you that I'm not being withdrawn anymore. That the dean said that if I would do this, repeat this course, take this one, if I can do this, this, or that, they will give me another opportunity to retake these courses and I will not be withdrawn. Did I talk to anybody? No. I just issued the word of God, said a short word of prayer and left the place. I remember that story very well. Because of how it played, I forgot when I left that place. Don't think, hallelujah, I command the withdrawal to be cast away. You need certain kinds of confidence to do that. I didn't have it. But what's my story? Just the fact that the word was spoken. The word went, first acted on the recipient. They looked to him and they were radiant, or they were lightened, and their faces were no longer ashamed. God first removed depression from her and then moved into the faculty, turned the heart of the lecturers and the dean. They rearranged things so that, okay, we're not kicking you out again. Just do this, take this course again. You carry this one, you repeat this one, and then we'll let you be. We'll give you another 1 year to see whether you stay with us. That was God working. Do you get my point? I don't want to bore you with stories. Here and I narrated different. I was just recalling experiences. And I told that there was a book I read, The Believer's Authority. I remember how that book acted on me. I remember situations we tackled. Remember a sister called me once, said, her brother had gone, in quote, mental, not really, not madness, but, you know, behavioral man. I mean, was joining calls, smoking. When she finished, I remember I smiled. I said, okay, see me after your fellowship. Took us 15 minutes. Next time the boy went to church, he woke up one day and said, what am I doing? He went to church, gave his life to Christ. Next time I saw him, he was on his way to a camp meeting. It wasn't like human wisdom. It was the book, that book, The Believer's Authority. It wasn't only me. Acted on many of us. It wasn't about trying to. It was just saying, wow, this is the word of God. Amen. 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 And then the word is acting. No, you can't act on the word, though. You're too small. You can't. Go and read Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw the glory of God. He fell down, boom, on the floor. And the Lord said to him, rise, that I may speak to you. Stand to your feet. And Ezekiel said, do I look like I can stand to my feet? I'm adding my own to it now. You think I wanted to stand and I fell? This falling is not of reverence. It is a presence. He says, such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, let me put my words, I was slain to the floor. So I fell down on my face. I didn't try to prostrate. I fell. And God realizing that after he spoke, Ezekiel said, when he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, thereby causing me to obey that commandment which he gave. The word acted in Ezekiel. Ezekiel couldn't act on the word. You can't act on the word of God. You can't. It is the word that acts on you. What he just says, my son, attend to my words. incline your ears to my saying. That's all. Why did I bring that up again? That our job as believers is just to hold on to the word of God. It will act on us. It will produce things in us. Let me tell you the truth. God will give you, without you confessing that I own companies, God will open companies for you. I'm telling you. Let me give somebody a word of prophecy. You will marry 3 years earlier than you planned. Amen. That thing is for one or two people. And even as we are saying amen, you cut your planned age of marriage from maybe 29 to 26. But God just dropped you to 23. And you don't know yet. Your amen that you gave me is not the one I'm talking about. It's the one that you did not even in amen expect. You see, I said so. This is the interesting part. This may even be for somebody who listened to this on CD. You say, Pastor, I didn't expect it. Just that one morning I woke up and the Lord said to me, what stops thee from being baptized? Seeing that thou in the midst of many waters. Then I realized that there's this sister in my church that we're always praying together and we see once in a while. And God just said, go and marry her. 3 months' time, you guys will be married. I had thought that I would marry after I finished my master's and after halfway through my PhD and all of that. You know what happened? The word acted. Do you get my point? That is acted on you. It's not you. People, we think we can plan. We think we have sense. God said, you don't need too much sense. Just pay me attention. Give me what? Attention. All I'm asking from you is what? Give me attention. That's all. I will pour a spirit into you. You will go to places you did not even know existed. It's when you reach, what do they call that place? That mountain, Tibet. It's when you, what? 6 months ago, I was in Enugu. I'd never left Nigeria. What you'll be doing in Tibet, I don't know. The word will act on you. Listen to me. A day will come. You will sit in places that you look to your left, there are presidents, you understand my point, prime ministers, royalty, and they are listening to you, and you'll be saying, what happened? Who begat for me all these children? I don't know what I get on saying. It is when the word, you can't skim to that level. You can't. That's what I'm saying. A word will act on you one day, you'll be pastor of a church, you won't believe it. Say, Pastor, I never, that is, if you had asked me 2 years ago, what do I want to do? I would like, this would not have been one of them. Listen, the world will act on you. You own media networks. You have so much power. Listen, PDP will talk to you before primary. Say, oh, God, I beg, you know, we need you to, you'll be telling them, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm not partisan. You want our airtime, you got to pay money. That's what God wants to do. So he's telling people, just, guys, attention here. Everybody, pay attention to me. I am not saying you should scheme, plan. As you are paying attention to me, I will pour plans into your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, ideas will come to your mind. You take one step, it's as if you took 50 steps. It's because of what? The word act. Oh, God, I think we missed it. We said we're acting on the word. It's good to try, but really, what we need is to act. And give attention to it, then the word acts on you, brings you to places you never knew you were going to go. All you need to do is what? Attend. Give attention. Give attention. Anyway, the Lord is good. What I was saying earlier is that so what we do as believers is that we hold the word of God as our prayer. Let me say this to us again. We are not in prayer, we don't scheme. What my scheme is that? Prayer is not how many words you can speak. That's why we say everything is Father God, God, Father God, God, Father, Father. I'm not saying it's bad though. I'm just saying it's not necessary. No, it's not how many words you can invent. It's if you have discovered what God wants to do, like Daniel. Daniel one day read Jeremiah. Daniel read Jeremiah. That is, there was a Bible before Daniel was included, that Daniel used to read. And that's, it sounds like a joke, but that's a matter of fact. Daniel read Jeremiah. He used to read Moses. These are the things they read, all right? They read all those things. One day he read Jeremiah and discovered what God wanted to do. 70 years. Then he must have been in his 80s. He came as a young man. So he began to pray. And the prayer was simple. This is what you have promised. We came here because of sin. We're asking for forgiveness. Let me tell you, when those men wrote those things, they were just writing what they wanted to say. They were not writing scripture. I hope you get my point. This was just what he wanted to say. Understand, he's an 80-year-old man. 80-something-year-old man. He had worked with God for almost 100 years. You know, like since he was a child. So he understood things. That we came here because of punishment. Because we defiled the land. And the only way you can get back, if God has mercy. He said, this is the season of mercy. Lord, now begin to show us mercy. One of the things I've learned is that when I'm praying for people, I just tell God what I know, what I have read, what I want him to do. And I trust that his mercy and good, and he will do that which is best in the situation. But I ask him what I want him to do. And I watch what we play out. That's all. It's not struggle. No, it's not fight. If you like, shout. If you like, talk quietly. Do you understand my point? If you shout, let it be shout because you through the, you know, the thing is moving you like that. Not because if you don't shout, no, this God, no, they hear. Maybe he's playing music. He has his Walkman in his ears. Want to overshout the sound of praise from the church nearby. No. Whichever way, just speak it the way it is. Believe me, the word of God is alive. God is alive. He will prosper you in this country. Amen. This country go good. Amen. You know me, I see everything with godly eyes. I saw riots in Tunisia and it was of God. It moved over to Egypt. And it was of God. Now Mubarak is not going. It is of God. At the end of the day, you know what God is going to do. Everybody that calls himself Antichrist, by saying Christ, Jesus is not the Christ, all of them will fall. That's it. Look, all these riots you are seeing, that's what God is trying to do. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. You see, PDP is in confusion currently. Honestly, it doesn't concern me much anymore. What I mean is that the confusion is not my problem. My issue is that God will prosper me and us, you know, in this country. Amen. This country go good. This country go good. Amen. This country don't good finish. Amen. All these disturbances to weed out all the enemies of progress. Amen. We have people, oh God, I like the prophecy that Pastor Tunde Bakare gave at the beginning of the year. There are men who are shouting now. They will neither vote nor will they be voted for. And they won't even last till the time of voting. There are men now, the last picture they took is that registration photo. I'm telling you, there are some evil souls that the last photograph in their life is that one when they say, "Oga, sit down here. Yeah, put your finger." That is the last registration. That is the last picture they will ever see of themselves. Not because they are too old, but because God said their wickedness is too much. And of course, you know now. There are people who will be governors who don't know it yet. There are people who enter the houses of Senate rep, they don't know it yet. I'm telling you. Do you follow my point? There are counselors who have not even joined any party as of today. But I just believe very strongly that God is moving in the land. Yes, he is moving in the land. If you believe, you say amen. Our job is to continually hold on to the word of God. Now, all right, let's just rise to our feet. You know, we have this prayer we used to pray then. It's from Psalm 23, and that's why we read Psalm 23. And if you remember the way we used to do it, all right, what I will just do is simply I read something out, just repeat what I'm saying, all right? It's from the scriptures. The first one we'll take is from Psalm 23, and then we may go on to other psalms, all right? It's good. It's just the word of God. You repeat it all the time. That's it. Bishop, like I was telling you, that's what I understand as the confession of God. That's Christian confession. You take the word of God and repeat it. It's not just, it's impossible to focus very strongly on something that's not the word of God. You can say things along the line. You can ask God for a Lamborghini today. Tomorrow you discover there's a Ferrari you like. The third, you find that Nigerians, you don't drive sports cars. So you decide, okay, you want a truck. I mean, I'm telling you. So, but then when you focus on the word of God, it's The Bible says the word became flesh and dwelt amongst them. Do you understand my point? It's not the desires that become flesh. It's what? The word. Believe me, you know, if the word had to become flesh, that word that Jesus was, and to dwell in Nigeria or in this part of the world, let's say 2,000 years ago, the word would have become flesh and had the very black skin. You know that? Yes. If the word became flesh and became flesh as a Scottish man, it would have been very white. You know that? If the word became flesh and became Osama bin Laden's brother, that kind of thing, they've had a different complexion entirely. And he has that kind of complexion, I believe. Do you understand? It wasn't striking it different from any people around. What am I saying? The word becoming flesh can become anything. The word become flesh, don't worry about describing. No, that one is not necessary anymore. If you have a desire, fine. If you don't have, don't worry too much. That's desire. Say, this is the kind of car I want. It must be this length. It must be this. It must be this. We just trust the word of God. The word become flesh and become the best car that you will ever wish for, beyond the one you have ever seen. If you like, draw a diagram of the man or woman you want to marry on your wall. That's your problem. It's not one of my gospels. The word will become flesh. You bring a better husband or wife than you have ever imagined. My wife still told me yesterday, I'm not joking about it. When I asked her to marry me, she was afraid. We were discussing yesterday. And she says, made a statement, say, is it to be thinking about it now? I can't thank God enough that I said yes. That was yesterday. Where some things led to it. If you was to talk about the kind of person she like, I was the exact opposite. I was the exact opposite. Well, not thoroughly exact opposite. I'm like, outwardly now, physically, hey, I was very, very different. It was a fearful matter. I'm being honest with you. The only reason, I'm telling you the truth, the only real reason my wife married me, the only thing she used as a consideration was that this guy is a man of God. That's all. I don't mean preacher. That he knows God more than I do. He knows the Bible more than I do. He will be able to teach me. I think with this guy, I can walk with God. Don't tell her I told you this. Ask her when she comes. Say, Madam, confess, sit down. Why did you marry this black? And she will tell you. No, I'm telling you. For her, it was more of, this is behavior. Let's just manage it. I don't know what I get my point. Peradventure, God will change you more. But man, this guy, he knows how to work with God. We will learn a lot from him. I'm not lying. I'm not lying about it. So you can draw a diagram. Is it causing you too much confusion? You know Adam. You know, there are gospels we preach those days. We don't preach them anymore. Because thank God we stopped. We have woken up. Adam did not know what Eve was supposed to look like. He had never seen an Eve. The only thing he had seen was giraffe, goat, monkey, snake, scorpion. And he actually considered marrying the female hyena. It's in the Bible like that. I don't have time. I've preached my gospels. I've preached so many times at weddings. When my younger brother got married, I was the preacher for the day. I preached at many weddings. And the same gospel I preached. Eve was given to Adam after Adam has satisfied that there was nobody fitting for him that he has seen. Go and check it. The Bible makes it clear that God made the man, put him in the garden, then he brought the animals for him to name. And amongst them, there was none fit. And then, he now sent the man to sleep and brought Eve. And what he says is, this is now. That is, after all these excursions, we have finally come to this point. This is now. Bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A woman shall she be called. It was his first time of seeing a woman. Now, I told you before, some of our gymnastics we practice that we call faith is good. It's good to keep us busy. It's better than smoking. Yeah, there are people who are smoking. Go downstairs at night, you see them there. All kinds of men, all kinds of women.
Strange people. So even if, at least, instead of smoking, be deceiving yourself by painting pictures that God did not send you to paint. That's a better pastime.